I think the M's, I think the G and the team.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a new year. My apology. Good morning, honorable members, the two DMs, the acting DG and the team. You are welcome in this first meeting in this new year. I'm happy that you are all back to Pelele. We know the issues that you will discuss today and issues that will be discussed in the forthcoming meeting before the end of the term. Before we proceed with the meeting, I will request the formula to indicate the apologies that you have received.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, members. Good morning, PM. Good morning, colleagues. I've got apologies from MP Muguni. He's attending a stakeholder engagement meeting in Durban. And I've got an apology from the minister. She's attending a cabinet meeting, and then if they adjourned early, she is going to join us. Thank you very much.
Honorable members, those are the two apologies that were received by our committee secretary. Can we note the apologies and proceed with our meeting? Honorable members, without the waste of time, the agenda for today is to look at the outstanding issue with regards to the organogram of the department, the structure, and also to consider the focus areas for the term under review. Minutes were circulated to members. Can we then move to the minutes of the 5th of December 2018? First page of the minutes, page 1. Page 2 of the minutes. Honorable Matthias, sir.
All other members, their parties are except for member of the EFF.
Oh,
yeah. Maybe the EFF wants to claim me.
Yeah, unknown. Our apology, I think that must be corrected, noted. Page 2 of the minutes. Page 3 of the minutes. Honorable Matela.
I'm of the view that we have set a deadline not to be around 4.3. That report is sufficient by the board and the people.
Under community resolution. Page 4 of the minutes. Can I get a move for the adoption of the minutes of the 5th of December 2018? Honorable Matthias.
Eh?
we are second, not good to you, you adopt. You are adopting because there's no one who adopted. There should be a second. Honorable Magadla.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think Honorable Matias is very scared of us at the AAC. So, but he always thinks that the AAC must move. And we are owning his minutes. I move for the adoption of the
Honorable Magadla moves for the adoption, then Honorable Matias a second. Thank you very much, Honorable Members. Honorable Members, when looking at the minutes and also at the summary of the activities that must be, of the issues that must be discussed further, we indicated that we need to carry over with the discussion of this organogram. I think the first one was presented. I'm not sure whether the second one that was presented is the same as the first one that was presented on the 21st of November. Because I've realized that there's a new one. Can we get an indication so that when we continue with this meeting, we know exactly what is it that we are discussing. The second one is dated 13 February. It looks thinner than the first one. The first one is dated 21 November 2018. Which is which? Can we be accepted?
Good morning, Chair, and members. We have sent a presentation yesterday of what we can be discussed here today.
Oh, the presentation. I hope the presentation talks to the speaker. Organogram that you submitted on the 21st of November. Okay, if that is the case then, DM, I'll be discussing this issue of the organogram today. I don't know, before the presentation, whether there's anything that you want to highlight before I allow the acting DG to make the presentation.
Thank you very much.
Overview.
Chairperson, my greetings to the members and my colleagues. The organogram that has been sent in November and discussed in December, we felt that as a department, it has been a little bit condensed. So we thought to give you more details of the organogram. That's why we have had to send the one that is dated the 13th of February. And also added a document as per your request of officials that have been dismissed in terms of corruption. But we felt that we needed to give you all information about officials that are undergoing disciplinary action, that have been dismissed, that have come back, and just to account to you fully on the labor relation issues. Those who are alleged on corruption will be part of that, but we felt that and we request the committee that we are not going to disclose the details of the extent of the case because there are still processes that are going on. We'll request the committee to bear with us so that we don't want to jeopardize the individual case. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, DM. Acting teacher.
Thank you, Chair. I've got Ms. Angomani who will take us through the presentation, the whole presentation, please.
Chairperson and honorable members, I would like to greet you this morning and I also want to take you through the presentation in respect of the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform organizational structure. In terms of what the presentation contains, I will provide the background of why we're presenting the structure and the purpose thereof, and we'll take you through the macro structure of the department and also unpack the micro structure as informed by the macro structure of the department. And we'll also endeavor to take you through the recruitment progress report in terms of the progress that the department is making to fill the vacant positions in the department, and will provide the investigation cases in terms of the various institutions that have conducted those investigations, and provide you finally with the officials that have been reinstated in the department as a result of the processes that were undertaken of the disciplinary processes. Chairperson, the background is that the executive management of the department presented the structure to the committee on the 5th of December 2018, and the committee requested further engagement on the structure in terms of the staff establishment of the department, and we further requested an update on the investigation of corrupt officials within the department. It is for this purpose that today we would like to provide you with the current status on the staff establishment of the department at the macro and the micro level, in particular the senior management services at the branch and provincial levels. And then we'll also provide you with an overview of the recruitment plan and the progress that has been made in the filling of vacancies in the department by the 31st of March 2019. And then we'll also show you the reports of the various investigations that were conducted on the corrupt officials as informed by the SIU Special Investigation Unit and our own internal governance structures, that is the Forensic Investigation Directorate and the Labor Relations Unit. And then we'll finally provide you with a list of all the officials that were reinstated and the reasons for their reinstatement and the financial implications thereof. Let me start with the macro structure of the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform. The Ministry of Rural Development is headed by Minister Mpani Mashabane and the two deputy ministers, Minister Skwacha, Deputy Minister Skwacha and Deputy Minister Mashiko Dlamini, and then also within the office or directly reporting to the minister is the Office of the Valuer General, that in terms of the Property Valuations Act, it directs that the Valuer General should report directly to the minister. Administratively, the Valuer General still reports to the Director General. Reporting to the Director General, in the Office of the Director General, because of the pending case of the DG Shabane, we have Mr. Dickey, who is acting in the capacity of the Director General. And within the Office of the Director General, there are branches that report directly to the DG. The branches as outlined below, the first one we've got Land Redistribution and Development, that is called LRD. The position is fully occupied by Ms. Ndobe, followed by the Land Tenure and Administration, that is currently vacant, but the process to fill that position is underway. We are now at the selection phase, where we're busy with the shortlisting and the interviews, but at the moment, Advocate Mwemwe is acting on that position. And then also, we have the branch Rural Enterprise Industrial Development that is headed by Dr. Musheswat, is also fully occupied. And then we have the branch Rural Infrastructure Development. This position has been vacated as a result of the resignation of Ms. Leona Achari sometimes in October last year. We have since reviewed the job description and the advert. The position will be going through the advertisement phase. And that position at the moment, we have appointed Mr. Gawane to act as the branch head. And then also, we have the branch restitution.
One meeting, departmental caucus. Continue, Mr. Ndobe.
The branch restitution that is headed by the Chief Land Claims Commissioner, Mr. Ntoko Boboto, is also occupied, and we have the branch deed registration that is headed by Ms. Nusen, is also fully occupied, and we have branch National Geomatics Management Services currently is occupied, but the incumbent is on precautionary suspension. Then we've appointed Ms. Njubeki to act in that position. And we have the branch Special Planning and Land Use Management. With the retirement of the former DG, we have appointed Ms. Matsila to act in that position.
Former DG.
And we also have in the branch corporate support services that is occupied by Mr. Eugene Southgate, who is also on precautionary suspension, but we have appointed Mr. Skawane to act in that position as the branch head for corporate support services. And we have in the branch finance, Mr. Diggy is the appointed chief financial officer. But at the moment, because she's acting as a DG, we have appointed Ms. Machiza to act in that position. And we have the Office of the Chief Operations Officer that is responsible for the coordination of all the provincial operations. The process to fill that position is underway, but at the moment, Ms. Nuba has been appointed as the Chief Operating Officer for the department. This is basically what informs the macro structure of the department at the top executive level of the department. Chairperson, when you look at the macro structure of the department, in terms of the representation, the structure is comprised of 56% female, as compared to 44% males, which is above the target as set out by the cabinet in terms of the 50-50 meeting of the requirement. And then also, in terms of the occupation, the field vacancies at this level is standing at 66%, where four of the positions are vacant and we are in the process of filling them. So, in summary, this is how the macro structure of the department looks like.
Chairperson, if you allow me to progress, I can go to unpack the microstructure now, which informs each and every component as outlined, starting from the ministry and going into each and every branch to show how each branch looks like.
Honourable members, can I propose that we deal with this structure? Deal with the structure page by page, so that we don't become confused looking at the presentation, the thickness of the presentation. We need to make sure that we understand everything that is here. Don't know whether my proposal is being accepted. Acting DG, why? Mr. Ngoman, you are saying that currently, looking at the macro structure, there are 56% women vis-a-vis the 44% females vis-a-vis the 44% males. But the females there, most of them are acting. So I don't know where is this 56%, or you base your 56% on the actors or what. Secondly, what you are presenting belongs to the branch corporate support service. Am I correct? If I'm correct, PG Skawana is the one that is acting. And you are Mr. Ngomani, you are presenting. Where is the actor? Then the other one is the issue of the actors there. We've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, almost 7 actors. And this is a strategic position, the DDG's position. What is the problem? Are you short of human resource if Mr. Skawane is acting in 2 branches, that is REED and also the corporate support service? What outcome are you expecting, giving the person to act on 2 positions at DDG level? What is the problem here? Honorable members? Honorable Chair?
The person is acting in 2 positions. What about the position that is appointed to run or manage the department? What is there somebody acting in his position? If not, so then it means the person is running three divisions in the department. Mm.
Honorable Madala, Honorable Madala.
Thank you, Chair. I'm also just concerned, Minister, in the absence, have previously indicated to us that in terms of public sector PCBC prescripts, anyone acting should only do that for 6 months period.
Mm.
The question is, how long have are we in compliance with that particular rule, because a former acting DG was in leave of acting precisely because of that principle. Are we in violation of that particular principle? And say you are right, you can't act in more than one position. It does not make sense at all, Chair. I did indicate previously, Chair, even though this is actors, that the macro structure fails the disability test for my GMs and acting DJ. It fails the disability test. We are not in compliance. If one even looks at the issue of the racial spread, it also fails Chair. So I'm not quite sure what is happening at GMs. Are we now moving backwards in the department, Chair?
Another one.
Thank you, Chairperson. What I want to know is how long has been this actor, how long has this actor been acting in this position? And secondly, in terms of the public admin policy, how long is the person supposed to be in action position? Thank you.
I want to go back on the issue before Honorable Mpapama, the issue as raised by Honorable Madela. You once came to the committee and told us that you relieved Ms. Achary because she acted more than 6 months. Can you indicate to us to the DM? The response is direct, the question is directed to you. Mr. Dike, from when was Mr. Dike acting? And also the other actors as indicated by Honorable Madela. Is it not over 6 months? If yes, why are you not applying the same principle? Because we are using one and the same policy, it has not yet changed, that you use when you relieve Achary. You use it to this acting DGs and also to the acting DG. And also that is why, you know, we've got the problem with regards to the performance, because really we've got the acting DG who's on the other side, the CFO. Those are the two strategic positions. Then what is your intention really? Another one, Papa. Over to the acting DG and the DM.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. The presentation, I think it's the acting DG is going to account on that. But Mr. Starr is here, the person who's acting on corporate services is here. My name is Chief Director HR, I'm a Taurus, Chief Director HR. So the issue of how long people must act in terms of the Public Service Act is very clear. It's 6 months, not more than 6 months. So now it's beyond 6 months. With a reason that it's a period that you can fill the position. But both DGs, acting DGs, have acted more than 6 months. We are compared by the case of the former DG, which is not completed. It is still in court, so we can't appoint a DG. So actually acted more than 6 months, and I remember very well, we came here in the committee, and we accounted that it's acting longer because the case of the DG is not finalized for the department to advertise the post. But the new minister felt it is not correct. So, of course, what we requested committee at that time, that's why Achary took so long. So, but the new minister felt we need to change because it's too long. So I can't vouch how long Mr. Dike acted. I don't remember the date. But the issue of taking too long, definitely it will really be on us because the case of the DG is not finalized. It is in court, and we were told that it's going to court today. It's going to court today. So now we apologize. We really apologize. But at this level of ATG, it is very difficult to keep people 6 months pregnant because there are many things that we are doing. We have also, that's why we requested for a child. So now, for what is happening now, is a problem. But as it stands now, we have got only a few DDGs that are permanent. So if it means we must change to the DDGs that are there that are permanent, because the rest are acting. So we are in a really dire situation, which we request the community to really bear with us. The feeling of the post of the DDG, it is taking too long. We agree, it is taking too long. And we are also being too late because we are almost at the end of the term. Almost at the end of the term, we don't know what will be the new president going to do in terms of the restructuring the department. So now we have been advised that we need not to appoint the senior managers earlier, because if it happens that other than the match of departments and all that, we'll have too much senior managers, too much staff than necessary. So we are in that.
My apology, DM, why you are there? While you are giving us that explanation, it's clear. But while there was while Mr. Ngumani was presenting, in other posts he said you are busy with the selection process. On the other side, you have been advised not to appoint because they're not sure whether the department will be merged with the other department. Which is which? While you are busy with the selection, other posts have been advertised, you're busy with the recruitment process. On the other side, you've been advertised to hold on. That no, don't continue because there's this process that is taking place. So that says what in the advice way. All this acting will remain acting until the new term. But if Komanye needs to have been advised that you must not appoint, while Komanye is busy with the selection process. If there was an advice, I think we finally special in Alama actors until the new term. But in a contradiction, to me there's a contradiction between what Mr. Ngumani was presented, that there's a selection process that is going on. For instance, on the issue of LTA, said that you are busy with the selection process. On the other side, you have been advised. Okay, you have been advised not to fill which post here, and you have been advised to fill which one, so that we are clear.
Oh, well, sorry to disrupt. I think DG will fill us there because we as a second minister, I'm not part of those elections and advertising.
Excuse me, TM, what I want to check. Does the new administration politically affect the administration? That's what I just want to check, because now it means since it's going to be in another term, even the administration must stop doing its work until the coming of the other term.
Thank you very much, Chair. No, I think the Deputy Minister is clearly saying that in 2 months' time, or probably 3 months' time, there will be an election. And the President, through Sona, has clearly outlined that there's going to be a reconfiguration of the apparatus. And that reconfiguration might mean, I don't even think it might, it is going to mean a leaner cabinet. And he has publicly announced that there's a team looking into that configuration. And that configuration is the one the DM is looking into. That departments will be affected by that reconfiguration. Others in the light of them being merged, others disappearing perhaps, and so will be the human resource personnel in relation to ministers or deputy ministers. So, in one way or another, the departments are going to be affected by that, that will be pronounced by the new president at a particular time. So what the DM is saying is that it would therefore be logical to advise that in the light of that, and in any case, looking at the fact that time-wise, it might not be the best thing, that's why the advice comes, to fill the positions of senior management in relation to the SMS, you know, at that level. Because if, for instance, we are merged, the department is merged in one way or another with agriculture, for instance, you know, you are going to have definitely personnel there in agriculture at a level of senior managers like you are going to have here. So if you then fill in, that's how we understand the advice, if you then fill in this position, you'll be moving from a bloated cabinet to a bloated services, you know. So that's, I hope that does explain the effect of the issue. The one in the DMS sector, the one the others you took before the activity to explain. Thank you very much.
Can we be clarified?
Acting DG?
Thank you, Chair. In terms of the public service regulation, 3.5.3, I will read it verbatim. An employee shall act in a higher vacant post for an uninterrupted period, not exceeding 12 months. Now, on the PSA, it's about 6 months and can be extended by the minister for a further 6 months, as long as you want to exceed 12 months. And our former acting DG was acting for 18 months. DG Achatz. Concerning the DDG posts that are vacant, we have advertised the one for DDG LTA, the COO, DDG Ridge, and we have not advertised LAM because they're still engagement with both DPME and COPTA on where must LAM be placed. And there is an indication that it might be placed with DPME because it has some planning function. So there is still a meeting that needs to be had for finalizing that and the cabinet approval for us to be able to advertise DDG's plan. DDG or CSG, Chief Surveyor General, we can't advertise because it's just merely going through a disciplinary process which is underway, including DDG corporate support. So those two cannot be filled. And the three that are vacant, we have advertised. And the last one is the one that we must agree with both COPTA and DPME on where it must before we could advertise it.
While you are there, acting DG, hold on. You have advertised?
Yes.
there's this advice, as said by the DM. That hold on, because we are assuming that the department can be merged with the other department. So here the actors, yes, there's an advice. You are advertising. Maybe if we can be clarified there. That is why in terminal we have been advised not to fill which position, and we have been advised to fill which position, so that we are clear. If the advice was general, that now is what, 3 months towards election, don't fill any vacant position. It was supposed to be like that. Not that there's an advice, then other positions are being filled, while we don't know the outcome, whether it will be matched with the other, as said by DM Squad, that you must also, while we avoid the bloated executive, we must also be cautioned about the bloated civil service. There's an advice, there are adverts, advice to fill which one, advice not to fill which one. Another one, Charlie.
No, I just want to check what is the meaning of the word moratorium. Was that word used in the advice? Was they say moratorium on advertisement of pending the end of the... Because an advice is an advice. A moratorium is something else. So, what is the thing?
Well, there's no moratorium that has been announced, but what the president said to Parliament, all of us were there. So now, whether the minister took it to the administration or not, that's another matter.
Can you respond to
Honorable Matthias?
The more the deputy ministers give answers to our questions, the more questions arise. Is there a moratorium? The answer is no. Is there an advice? The answer is yes. But in what form? Is this advice? Is it an executive directive flowing from cabinet and signed off by the president, or it arises from the state of the nation addressed by the president? And if it arises from the state of the nation, it doesn't represent an advice. It's a statement of intent. So in what form is this advice? And if indeed it's an executive directive, it should have been discussed by cabinet and signed off by the president for the attention of the minister and deputy ministers. In absence of that kind of a executive directive, there's no advice. And that then places the senior management team in a dilemma. Officially, there's no such a directive, there's no such an advice, officially. Unless if the deputy minister reduces this advice to what we may come in a form of a moratorium, or may come in a form of a executive directive.
Was there any situation whereby this matter was discussed at your... What structures do you have internally where the minister, deputy ministers and senior management are sitting with the management?
You,
yes, that thing. When I log in, was this matter really discussed in that in the MCM? Where all stakeholders sit together and look at what has been presented by the president and look at what is it, can we implement, what is implementable, how do we take this forward, or whatever. Here is the situation with regards to the vacant position, what is it that we're supposed to do, which ones are critical that we can fill, which ones can we just hold on. Is there any session where these matters are discussed within the department?
Thank you, Chairperson. You covered me. You covered me in this issue of these stakeholders, more especially the labor forum or part of the department, because you know, we are always talking about jobs, unemployment. On the other side, we are talking that you must wait until the reconfiguration of the department or whatever. I don't know how to put it. But, you know, I have a concern, Chairperson. I'm not here, but I have a concern. You know, unemployment, jobs, always. In all our manifestos, we're talking about that. All the parties, but there are people outside, there are graduates outside there who are not working. But here in these boardrooms now, we are talking about the waiting period of the reconfiguration of departments.
Thank you. I think that you...
Thank you. We don't have an official instruction not to appoint DDGs. Hence, from an administrative point of view, we have advertised. We have shortlisted for two, and the other two will be shortlisting as soon as the advert are closed.
There are still outstanding questions that have been asked. That is why I'm giving you time.
Thank you. The while Mr. Ngomane is presenting, we have asked him to do the presentation. The DCG is here to ask respond to any question. He could have presented, but we agreed, all of us, that we would ask Mr. Ngomane to present. There was no any particular reason why not. We just thought Mr. Ngomane could present. And if it's not proper, Chair, we apologize for that. The issue of us regressing from the acting, from the people with disability, certainly when we do advertise, we do give preference to people with disability if they do apply and they do qualify. I'm sure on the Z83 you would remember that it's included there. They should indicate if there are people with disability. We have not appointed, except for one, LRGDDG, who was appointed even before Ms. Nasana went on retirement. And we would be looking out for people with disability at executive level if they do apply and they do qualify. Why is Mr. Skawan acting in two positions? And whether he's acting on the third one. The third one would be when he's really appointed on a permanent basis, which is Chief Director PSS Associate. We've got Ms. Matidiso acting in that position, heading up the Chief Director at at Free State. And when you brought Mr. Sawani, we were bringing him to act as DPC Corporate Support Services following the suspension of Mr. Southgate. And when the vacant and Ms. Hachari left, we did not have anyone to act. So we thought he was senior enough to act, but we still couldn't get anyone to act at Corporate Support Services in this offer act. We needed someone senior. However, we are accelerating and filling up the position for Ms. Archer. We hope we should be able to fill it before the current administration is finalized. The issue of 6 months, as responded, that we it can be uninterrupted for 12 months. With the approval of the minister, and that Ms. Achal was acting for 18 months, and of course it was with the approval by the minister. How long has the actor been acting? I have been acting now for, I think it's 8 months. And I've been acting for 8 months, and the CSG has been acting now. Acting only ends on the 17th of March, so she's still fine with the first 6 months. Corporate Support Services is ending 1st of April, so it's still the first 6 months. LTA is the 1st of May, and will be the time when we must be leaving. And the CFO is now 6 months.
CFO is now 6 months?
Yeah, we are extending it for a further 6 months because the regulation does allow. The issue of whether the 56%, that includes the extras, yes, it does.
Honourable members, any follow-up? Honourable Mbapama, Honourable Chabeling, your hand is up.
Chair, apologies if I'm taking everybody back. I would just like to know, where is Ms. Achari now? Because I don't see her name anywhere yet. I'm sorry if we have been briefed and maybe it slipped my mind. But I'd just like to know, where is she now? Because I don't see her anywhere. Thank you.
Another one, Chabeling.
Chairperson, if the contract of the CFO is extended, so therefore it means then that the contract of the FTDG will be extended for the because the FTDG is a permanent appointment that by the CFO in the department. So she's acting as DG. So if somebody's getting an extension on her post, then it means logically it means then that the minister intends extending the contract of the
acting DG. Can you please clarify the issue of seniority? You said you have taken Mr. Sawani from Free State to the head office because of seniority. There was no one. Can you just unpack that one?
Honorable Madama, Ms. Achari has left the department.
Has resigned.
She resigned.
Left.
Okay. The issue of Mr. Sawani. acting in corporate support services and the REIT. In corporate support services, the only seniority that is there is chief director HRM. But the chief director HRM there is acting chief director. So we could not make the chief director who is acting DDG.
Yeah. Chief director is acting. She says a lap while the presenter the staff establishment. Because really there is any cosa department. It's just Kawan and Msusale and Mshupa and Msusa Free State and let your head office. Alana kuna banya by actor. I don't know what you what is it. But no one such way can present her this organogram. Is a stella good while we proceed. But one put on my actors because it seems that there are a lot of actors. That is why in Tatabant even from the provincial office in Balete head office because Kwalapa go head office. There's no one really. There are few people who are permanent. Ngoba Emma province in Nakona so clean as Ningag. So when a problem, ngoba Naba Nelon and Zolan Lumunya Pumalang, namely the head office which are also act. Because Nana Mundi from the head office on our actor in that particular position. And that compromises service delivery. But we continue, just engage in the tour. Honorable members, on the first page, anything that you want to read? Let's continue to the second page, Mr. Ngumane. In future, if a senior person of that branch is here, then another person under the senior person is presenting, they're supposed to inform us because we're expecting the senior person of the branch to present to the committee. Singabuzi ukuthi why you present to Mr. Ngumane ngoba akekho la kulelo. Who is the person who's supposed to present? We must be informed. Why in any right of discuss under the decision at your own level, you must inform us. Now Mr. Ngumane being singam stop, I would no. You're not supposed to present. The person, the senior person in that, I need to Mrs. Kawane Nimlandengo, who is senior every state, is the one who was supposed to present on corporate service. Continue, Ngumane.
That will make it create a very wrong impression that a person who has the post does not have the capacity.
That
we're going to expose us. We'll be exposed if we let this person drop. Because the person is going to bubble. Let's get somebody.
Why extra another person?
I wouldn't agree if I'm heading a division and somebody's going to present on what is supposed to be presented by me.
Honorable Papam.
Just for the record, Chair, I have a different view. I think it might happen sometimes that the senior person wants somebody else to present while they are writing the questions and you know, concentrating on the responses. So personally, I don't see anything wrong with this, just for the record.
That's your personal view?
Yeah.
To be noted, Honorable Mattel?
I'm just a bit concerned that we... That we have one individual who acts in so many different positions. It gives an impression that either he has exceptionally special skills or he's exceptionally favored, and trusted. And in this case, either by the DMs, the minister, and the DJ. It would give an impression to any other staff member that's employed in this department that this man is indeed running the show, Chair. It's something that cannot be allowed, Chair. It is something that has to change. Also, and I would actually feel that the committee must be changed immediately. The message that it gives, even to him as an individual, that yes, my status here, I'm irreplaceable, I am, I really said something else, but I'm highly favored, this is essentially the message that that has been given here. This is something that, that should not continue, DJ, please thank you.
Another one, Papama.
Thank you, Chair. My last question on this is Mr. Sinakwana.
Sikawana.
Mr. Sikawana, is he being paid for both acting positions?
No. No. Acting DJ. I'm here. I've got the responsibility. Acting DJ.
My apologies, Chair. He's not being paid for acting on corporate support services. We are paying him for acting with each.
Chair,
since Mr. Skawana is here first, we should ask him to present, to continue with the presentation.
Ngicabanga ukuthi vele bekufanele ukuthi presente uMr. Skawana, unless nangabe bekagula noma. I think Mr. Skawana was supposed to be the one who presents. Now uza wena la uheader e-department. Sitshelwa nguwe ukuthi 19 yam, but ubani uzokwenza ini e-presentation. Mr. Skawane was supposed to be the one who show you ukuthi here I am, Mr. Ngomane is going to. Is the one that is heading that department. But yena uma ngaba ngakhona ipresenter fanele sitshelwe nguye ukuthi akakhona ipresenter kwenze njani, ucele Mr. Ngomane ukuthi Mr. Ngomane apresente on his behalf. So akwenzeki nje. Angiyazi mina lelona lapho kwenzeka khona ukuthi i-manager ingathi mina ngiyahlala ngithatha ama-notes. Then i-junior kimi izawulo, izawupresenta. The junior must take the notes instead. Then i-manager yenza i-presentation. Nangabe kuphendulwa, kubuzwa imibuzo, then the manager will work with the junior ukuthi here are the questions that have been asked. So in future, really, akudingakalanga ukuthi size sibuze ukuthi kahle kahle who's who. Mr. Skawana is the one that is supposed to present on this meeting. Mr. Skawana, uthathe intambo baba. Uthathe pa udlala ngaye. Over to you.
In view of this administrative
errors and graphic mistakes of appointing one individual in multiple roles. What has been the role of the minister? Now we are putting so much of pressure on, because the DG as well should be responsible for all of this, because eventually she's an accounting officer. She's the one who appoints DPGs or reports to her. But what has been the role? It's like we are not bothered about establishing the role of the minister and the deputy minister in light of this graphic mistake. I'm just expressing that because it's concerning, so that we move with clear understanding of what is expected from the side of the table, and the obligation we have to monitor and do what is called oversight of the ministry as a whole and the department and various components of that department. Ministers and deputy ministers must not escape our scrutiny, must not escape our criticism of sleeping on duty for all of these mistakes that occurred under their watch.
Any view, any comment on the side of the DM, political head of the department?
Thank you very much, Chairperson. When we are appointing the acting DG, there is a memo that comes from administration via all of us and approved by the minister. But when there was appointment of acting DGs, never came to the deputy minister. So the minister approved it. So that's why we don't know what was the process, but the minister approved that. We have only participated in the approval of the acting DG as the two deputy ministers. There's a root memo that goes to all of us and we sign and comment and the minister finalizes. The appointment of the DDGs never came to us as a whole. So our understanding is that it has been made by the minister, between the minister and the acting DG. Thank you.
Honorable DM Scotcher.
Thank you very much, Chair. I think one welcomes this discussion, even the comments by the member from the EFF. I just want to say that to echo what the DM has said, in fact, this discussion of the last 30 minutes or so is quite telling for me. It really means that there are issues that we should come back and talk about, all of us, you know, because oversight really cannot be just over the administration, involves all of us. I agree with DM that the matter has not been. I also want to say that probably she is maybe let me say it, considering this particular issue and the appointments and the appointments and the changing of A, B, and C and so forth, we actually requested, because even if we are not consulted, as she says, but practically when these things do happen, we're bound to know that you are now the DDG for this one, and so forth. So we did actually request a meeting with the Minister and needless to say, I think that the issues in particular around the issue of that is now a matter of discussion here, but the position of one individual were really vocally raised by GM Masher, you know, in the same light of what you are raising. So I just want the committee to know that the issue was raised, you know, but ultimately it is the decision of the minister. So in a meeting among the three of us, politicians, no administrative person around. Thank you very much.
Honorable Magadza.
Thank you, Chairperson. Whilst I still in this issue, I would appeal to the department to respect the structure of the department on all levels. Whether you like him or her or whoever, but at least I agree with the president when he proposed that. You know, someone who's hit with a leader must be paid for a certain period. Because we can't have a situation where we deploy people in some positions and then they are just ignored. I don't know how to put it, but I'm not here to say it. I think the deputies are not toys in this department. They are representing us. Yeah. Thank you very much.
It's unfortunate that these matters are discussed in the absence of the minister. I think the minister was supposed to be here to hear the views of the committee members raising their dissatisfactions about the way other things are happening within the department. Because if the minister is here, the deputies are supposed to be here and they're supposed to give us responses on the issues. But if the deputy ministers, they can't give responses because they're not aware of some of the other issues happening within the department, then it's a problem. But it's unfortunate the minister is not here. It means that we're talking amongst ourselves. But I think the office of the ministry, see, I don't know whether they take notes to brief the minister about the discussions of this meeting. I'm not sure. But the office of the ministry is here. They're supposed to do that. They're not supposed to respond because they're here to just note the issues and brief the minister, but not to respond because I'm not sure if they want to respond. They're not going to give us that what we want. We want the minister to respond on certain issues that we're raising at the committee. Honorable members, can we proceed? I think what has been raised by Honorable Matthias has been noted. The DMs, together with the minister in their meetings, will also raise them the issue that the committee is very much concerned. Because if other issues are raised here, the DMs can't respond because they were not informed, they were not consulted, then it's a problem. Because if they are here, in other words, they are representing the minister. Honourable members, can you proceed?
Madam Chair, I know that progress of the budget. But on the basis of what we have proceeded, on the basis of what we want a situation where the minister sits over there and she listens to us and she gets from us and no one else as an intermediary to convey our views to the minister. We want to put it on record, the manager, that to me. We do not take lightly that the minister is not here, and secondly, the minister is unable to answer, sorry, because of our absence to what we are doing. We do not want to create a situation where some intermediate
from the minister conveys our views, and in the process of that, distorts us. Secondly, where in the distortion of our views, the impression is created that deputy ministers washed off their heads on the minister. So I would concretely propose that, I don't know how practical, how physical is that, that the minister should be here, and for her to be at this meeting, we'll have to adjourn so that she's physically present, she can answer for herself. We can really not allow a situation like this to continue, where things turn out ugly as they are turning out. Mr. Sikawa, no wonder why he has failed to answer to some of my emails I've sent to him and SMSs. He knows about challenges in the system, which is my constituency. It's because he's overburdened. In the Free State, I've been introduced to him as someone responsible for the whole of the Free State, for the department. Of all the SMSs, at least he replied once and says, I've not received your email and I forward it to him. No wonder why he's unable to perform. Perhaps he's performing well in the two acting posts that he has been assigned, but not in my constituency, in the future. And to blame him for that would be a bit unfair. You must blame it on the person who appointed him into those two additional roles. As a result of that, the constituency supposed to serve in the Free State suffered. I don't know if the department gets what is called fair of money for him being overburdened like this. But the constituency in the Free State is not getting fair of money from his service and from his employment. I want to put that to the minister so that I can get direct answers. Why is that the case? And why is Mr. Sikawa in the place in so much position and the very commanding post?
I propose that to this minister myself.
Honorable DM.
Chair, thank you very much. No, I just want to say, perhaps I think that is a valid apology why the minister is not here. The minister is attending the cabinet meeting, and I think the table has advised us that there is an apology. And I just want us to straighten that it's not a matter of irresponsibility on the part of the minister. The second point is, I think the department is fully represented here. Its political leadership is here. Its administrative leadership is here. You know, and therefore there should be no doubt that the issues raised here will be advanced to the minister. You know, I don't think that we can really be regarded as intermediaries, you know. Now, there is something no one can be able to do. We can, there would be minutes reflecting the discussions here, but we would also be speaking, as I said, and I think that this is a fruitful, eye-opening discussion which we need to take back. How are the people in their corners relate what was happening here to the minister, something that we cannot control. But factually, the facts would be on the table, and look, we're not kids. I mean, we're putting facts on the table here. When the DM says we're not part of this, we're part of this, we're not promoting. So I don't know, the committee might take that decision, but I think it would. And I'm not undermining what Mr. Matthias is saying, the importance of the presence of the minister to actually here. I'm not sure whether that goes as far as asking for an action in the meeting. Thank you, sir.
Honourable Chairman.
We know where the minister is, so I think we should continue with our meeting. When the apology was presented, there was no objection to that. Now that there is a window of opportunity is opening, people want to go through that window now. And you know, when the minister comes next time, we're going to ask him. You know, this question still stands. We need answers. The questions won't go. We can even ask. I think we should continue to question and not stall the meeting because of the absence of the minister. The political office is well represented.
Maybe had you closed this matter at the point made by the deputy minister, would it have been good? And it would not prompt me to reply, but allowing honorable Ntshavheli, I forget his name because he's been just out of office. There's no window of opportunity. No one, when someone comes out of office, even the man forgets his identity. You just switch off. He's been out of office. There's no window of opportunity. He must be present and not just be physically present. His mind must also be present. He must not relax his in the past of that.
Address the issue, not in Honorable Chabonini.
Now, I'm saying, out of the discussions as the presentations have been made, the reality is presented here. The truth is presented here that certain questions may not be answered because of the absence of the minister. And it's not us who bring this reality, that certain questions may not be answered. It is not us, this side, who brings the reality. It is the truth as it manifests itself from the reality. That certain questions may not be answered. And if certain questions may not be answered, one of them is, must we call for the divine intervention, must we invest in the future when the present demands of answers now, so that there can be progress, there can be way forward. The way forward which I propose here, unless if we want to rush short of what is the problem now and wants to wish it away, then we may proceed at the risk of not getting answers for the questions are raised. But be as it may, because I'm not from the benches of the ANC, there is no intention whatsoever to deal with the matter as it manifests itself and to deal with it concretely. It's a life is fair attitude, it's a life is fair, it's a business as usual. And with that mentality of business as usual, we may proceed. And the risk is that we are not doing any good service to the future. We are betraying the future. And if that is the wishes of the Honourable Chairman, then so be it. We may proceed.
Honourable members, there are two proposals here. Assistant. There's a proposal is raised by Honorable Matthias and also the proposal raised by Honorable Ntshavheli. The one for Honorable Matthias is that some of the questions that you'll be raising will need the attention of the minister or others that we've raised, including maybe some that you'll be raising will need the response from the minister, but viewing the responses given by the DM, it means that the minister is supposed to be part of the meeting to respond to some of the questions if we want to deal with this matter in the right way, according to the view by Honorable Matthias. Honorable Chabeling is saying we can proceed with the meeting. We can park some of the issues that will need the attention of the minister. When the minister is here, then we'll raise those issues. I think that is what Honorable Chabeling has indicated. So, assist me. Honorable Mpapama, Honorable Masimbi.
Thank you, Chair. I think in considering the two recommendations, we should also look at the focus areas and the time that we have, because we've spent almost 2 hours from what we've taken just looking at the microstructure, and there seems to be quite a lot in the whole, you know, presentation. So I'm not sure how many days we're going to need now to go forward with this. So my suggestion would be that we push forward, but before pushing forward, we actually ask the acting DG whether, would it be the acting DG or the minister's present, the deputy minister's present, whether there were other cases that they were overlooked on, because it would mean then that we would have to have the minister here. But I'm for the side really that says we must push on, considering the focus areas and the time that we have until you complete what I'm
Another
one,
Martin.
Thank you very much, Chair. I'm also like to agree that the meeting must continue. Issues that means the minister will be passed and the minister can come and respond, unlike packing everything, because the minister is not doing everything alone. We've got two DMs, we've got a panel of senior managers in his office, in their office, so there's no need for us to postpone the meeting. We'll just pack a few issues that really need their attention. Then she'll come and respond to the issues.
Honourable members, looking or listening at the views of you, some of you, on this matter, we are agreeing with the proposal that we continue with the meeting. But the issues that we've raised, the two DMs and the acting DG and the officials in the office of the ministry, whether they will convey the message being green, red or yellow, they must note the concerns that we've raised on this macro structure. I think it's clear. I agree with Honorable Mpapama, the issue of time. Time is against us, but we must not compromise the oversight also because of time, but we have to really proceed with the meeting and make sure that some of the issues, if it calls for, I think we need to have a meeting, if it starts with Vumela, with the political heads of the department and the acting DG to discuss some of the issues that you have been raising. Do you agree on the proposal? Okay, let's proceed.
I'm proposing a closed meeting of the committee with the...
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Sure.
Can we proceed then with the presentation?
Chair, let's go on. I just quickly went to the loop. It comes.
No, yeah, good woman, it's too big. Let's have a break. Okay, let's grab tea. 5 minutes, then we'll come back. Dala mong woman.
Thank you.
Hey, Mr. Davis. How are you?
Thank you.
Can we reconvene and start with our meeting? Mr. Skawane. Oh. Honorable members, can we proceed with our meeting? Mr. Gawane, over to you, sir.
Thank you, Chair. I will proceed to the next slide, which is the organizational structure for ministry. the structure has got one post of the minister and two positions of deputy minister. The office of the minister has got one government component reporting under her. That is the office of the Federal General. And the minister has got two advisors. The actual office of the minister has got a head of office of ministry and one chief of staff. And under those two officials, there's about seven supporting staff members. And then the special directorate in the office of the minister that deals with administration. And that unit has got one director. And about 11 supporting staff members. On the two deputy ministers, both the offices of the deputy ministers have got private offices. And each you then have private secretary, parliamentary officer, and appointment secretary. And the office of the deputy minister, each one of them is headed by a head of office. And the head of office is supported by about 30 support staff. The next office is the office of the Valuer General, which consists of the Valuer General himself or herself, supported by the Chief Operating Officer. And the office of the Chief Operating Officer has got one director, finance and supply chain, on the Valuer Evaluation Services. We got three land and property valuers supporting the Valuer General. And the office of the Director General.
Can you hold this, honorable members? Can we look at the Office of the Ministry, Office of the Deputy Ministries, and also the Office of the Valuer General? When looking at the Office of the Deputy Minister's quarter, the post of the Private Secretary is vacant, and also the post of the head of the office is vacant. From when? Looking at the office of the minister, the chief of staff is acting, the office assistant post is vacant. Looking at administration also, under the office of the ministry, the director administration is vacant. The ministry registration clerk, I don't know how many clerks are supposed to be there, whether there are three, because two are filled, one is vacant. Looking at the office of the M. Mashoko Dlamini. Okay. All, seems as if all the posts are filled. But also, can you clarify the issue of this additional to establishment? What do you mean? Because maybe just to tell us whether this organogram was approved. If yes, when was it approved? So that we are clear what is it that we are dealing with. Honorable Matela? Honorable Makada, Honorable Masindi, Honorable Papama, Honorable Matias, if you're the last. Oh, Honorable Chabeli.
Thank you very much, Chair. Chair, there's an old matter that has been discussed, I think, on three different occasions in this committee. It relates to the role of salary for the parliamentary officers in the DM's offices. It is at 11, and in our view, when we have discussed it and agreed as a portfolio committee that it should be at the level 12. What we do pick up here is that we see that in the minister's office, the parliamentary officer is at, if I read it correctly, it says level 13. It does not make sense that the other posts are pitched at level 11. I think we never were satisfied with the explanations from the DG of Corporate Services Chair previously. The second point I wish to raise, Chair, I do not see, you must forgive me, I am wearing glasses, but I fail to see the name of Mr. Kuchi on this organogram in the office of the minister. I don't see your name yet. Mr. Kuchi. It's not Kuchi, huh? So I'm just wondering, it also can't be an addition to the establishment, because at least we would see his name Kuchi as an addition to the establishment. I don't know, maybe it's an error. But he has been with the minister since he has come to this portfolio. I mean, they just rural development and land reform portfolio. Those are the two key things. And I would wish to appeal, Chair. You get asked the question why there's a vacancy in the chief of staff on the DM. One would say it's because your former chief of staff left, he was redeployed, but it doesn't mean that this vacancy should continue to be a vacancy, because I'm quite sure there is somebody acting in there now. Just from a labour point of view, is that person getting the acting allowance for the good work that that person is doing? If not, then you are doing him a great injustice at the end by not compensating
me
adequately. Thank you
very much.
Madam
Mm-hmm. Mateo. Yeah, you have person honorable Delaka, but me in the vacancy issues. But what I want to get the clarity on is in the office of the minister, there's that one private level 12 who is not in your account, but you still contest them. There are many, I think there are 1, 2, 3, 4. They've moved with the former minister, as it is written here. Mm. But what I want to clarify on is to check, are there any filling up positions since these officials have moved with the previous minister, but they do appear in person. But I want to get a clear contact.
Mm-hmm.
Chair, my question was that I wanted the meaning of the official who has moved with the previous minister. What is she still on the server? Is she still earning the money from the post? Is the post still good active?
Narawan Papa?
Same question, Chair. 6 vacant posts or 12? Because if I count the people who have moved, then it should be 12 vacant posts. Thank you very much.
Mm. Honorable Matthias, then.
Well, it would be foolhardy to think that the bureaucracy in the in the political establishment will be leaner, will be leaner than what we see here. All what I see here is a broken bureaucracy. And you and I, Honorable Chair, know what the impact of a bloated bureaucracy is on the effectiveness of any institution. I just want to know, before I make that point, I must here express my view that given the bloatedness of this ministry, I doubt it really serves the purpose to oversight over the totality of the department. I think it's not even properly aligned to ensure administrative and executive oversight over the ministry, over the department of rural development reform and its various components. Otherwise, we'll not be having the thing that we discussed before we went on break. So my question is, how is it ministry and its bureaucracy, which is broad, aligned to ensure departmental efficiency? How is it aligned to ensure departmental efficiency?
Can we get your responses?
No,
I'm sorry. My apology, Honorable Chabale.
I think this bracket is incomplete, Chair President. Because I don't see the commission.
Yes.
We only see the Office of the Valuer General reporting to the minister. One is supposed to be the OVG and the commission on the other end. Because the OEG's office, they are like to see the standalone and so is this one here at the commission. So, what's that? What's happening to the commission? Why is it not happening?
Honorable Mandela has raised something about the parliamentary liaison officers. We have discussed this matter several times, that here on your organogram they are at level 11. What was your advert saying? The advert the same as what is appearing on the organogram? If yes, fine. If no, what were the reasons for the change? As I've asked whether this organogram has been approved or not. If it has been approved, when was it approved? If the levels of the PLOs have changed, what were the reasons that led to that change from the advert to something else? And also, when they were changed, was there any consultation with those affected? I think, did you?
Thank you, Chair. Just overall, I would remind the House that we came here 2 years ago when I was still a CFO and announced that Treasury has taken 800 million plus from COE, and it meant that the structure of the organogram that's approved cannot be filled 100% because we don't have that money. So that should explain some of the vacant posts, because we now prioritize, we don't just fill all the posts, we fill the strategic positions that when they are vacant have got impact on service delivery. Not all positions are filled. in on the nature of the VG versus the Commission. VG is a Schedule 3 entity in terms of the PFME. A commission is program 4 of the department and budgeted and allocated as such and reported as such. We are in the process of requesting Treasury to allow them to be an entity, not a Chapter 9 institution, but an entity. And that process is still ongoing. There's not such an approval. And until there's an approval for them to be an entity, they are still program 4 of the department. So you won't find them reporting directly to the minister. In terms of the Restitution Act, the DG of the department is the accounting officer of the commission. The rest of the questions, my colleagues will assist me. Thank you.
In terms of the number of...
Mr. Sawane, can you wait? Honorable Nchabele?
No, the acting DG talked about the act. That it talks to, it doesn't talk to that. Can you elaborate a little bit, particularly on the commission and the act and how they report to what they report? Because if there was an amendment, then you know, it's okay. If it was an amendment.
There was never an amendment. It has been
DG. You must wait until I give you time. You note, you wait, I recognize. Please, over to you.
Yeah, apology again, Chair. There has never been an amendment, it has always been like that. If you go to the appropriation that is done by Parliament, you will see that restitution is program 4 from the department. So they are not autonomous. We've been in this process. When I joined the department, I found them in the process of applying to become an entity. And at some time, period, it was changed to be a Chapter 9 institution, and we now have gone back to being an entity. We are still in that process with the consultation with National Treasury. It has never been approved.
The restitution is program 4.
Yeah, restitution is program 4.
Meaning that you're telling us that even the commission is there.
Yeah, it's program 4 of the department.
Organizational.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm confused, but...
What I want to check is the commission reporting to the DG's office or the minister.
Understanding, yeah, I think we have to check is that the commission reports direct to the minister. Can it be clarified?
Thank you very much, Chairperson. According to the structure and the problem of the department, restitution is problem 4.
Mm-hmm.
According to the staffing, the way it has been arranged since 2009, there are only two people that are commissioned. It's the commissioner and the deputy commissioner. Those ones are commissioned, but within the department, which in terms of the PFMA, is an unregistered entity in the department. Two people. The rest of the function that they manage the function at program 4. Reason being that when the legislation was passed and passed, the national treasurer didn't make allocation, budget allocation for the commission itself. They were integrated in the department. So the budget that they use is the budget which is program four. There's no budget that stands alone as commission. So now the two people are reporting directly to the minister. And they are registered in the department as commission, a commissioner and a deputy. Remember, at provincial level, they have made the provincial commissioners as chief directors in the public service, just because of there was no budget for the commission. So when we account in the annual report and everywhere, we only declare the two as commissioners. And the money that we spend for these two people, the rest it is accounted within. So we declared a dispute with the Auditor General last financial year because of that matter. And we all agree with Treasurer that definitely it's only these two people, but they don't have an allocation directly from Treasurer to them. They are utilizing the department and budget, which was so awkward with the Auditor General and actually understood it.
Thanks, GM. But what Honorable Ntshabeleng is raising, we understand that the commission doesn't have a separate budget. They're still using the departmental budget. But looking at the structure, as they are accountable to the ministry, are they not supposed to be part here? That is what we're asking. Are they, yes, as they are reporting directly to the ministry, the OV, the Valuer General is there reporting directly to the ministry. Then the commission also must reflect, that is what Honorable Ntshabeleng is saying, the commission must be reflected as they are reporting directly to the minister on this organogram.
Yes, Chairperson, I agree. I think it's an ownership. I agree.
It's an omission.
But
it cannot be a mistake. I think we need an explanation, so that we understand these things and close it once and for all. Because all this time, what I know is that the commission was reporting directly to the minister. And now in this structure, the commission does not report directly to the minister. It's now it's not reporting as program four. When did it change? Because in the old, I don't know whether they say newer and old structure, but we still need an explanation of how final is the structure. Is this time, because the I nearly said the obituary, I mean the, what do they call it? I said so many things. What do they call it? Okay.
The old organogram.
The commission was reporting to them. And then the new one was the OVG that is now reporting directly to them. When did it change?
Honorable Scotcher?
I think the valid question is not being thoroughly explained by the Deputy Minister. Hence the acknowledgement that this needs to be corrected, because the commission reports directly to the minister.
Mm-hmm.
That's been my understanding. So
yeah.
If they say change.
Another one, okay.
I want to check that if the deputy ministers have gone through this paragraph. Or are they surprised, just like myself, or have they gone through this organization so that they can check these omissions they are talking about in the commission?
DMs, then acting DG will follow responding on the other, on the question as raised by Honorable Chabling and other outstanding questions.
Yes, we have gone through the organogram. That's why the DM is saying this is an omission. We have gone through this issue yesterday. Now, problem updated one, might not find. This thing, one of the things for the first time, there's a session yesterday.
Acting DG.
Thank you, Mr. Khan. Thank you, Chair. Let me start with the parliamentary officers, the department, the salary level 11 and 12. The matter was referred to Public Service Commission, and the advice we got from them was that we must await. There is a complaint that has been lodged by a number of people who were not upgraded to General 12. And that case is with the GPS and the DC. So we were advised to await the system of the GPS as we were on this matter. So there were several other officials that were affected by this new dispensation. And the PLR were affected by the same. As far as Mr. Kutia is concerned, Mr. Kutia is still employed by the Department of International Relations. So he's actually seconded to our department through the request of the minister. The organogram was approved in 2009, but in particular the ministry organogram is anyway a prescription by the ministerial handbook. As you know that we find as prescribed by DPSA. The issue of people being having been moved with the previous minister and yet still appear before our structure is that there's some traction effect here. The former minister of water affairs, with the staff that she appointed then, as you know that ministerial appointments are subject to the term of the city. What had happened is that when the then minister of water affairs moved, people were not terminated in water affairs. So when our previous minister moved to water affairs, and we couldn't transfer the staff that he wanted to leave with to water affairs. So what is happening in the structure is that these officials are still on the establishment of rural development. Because we are engaging water affairs and water affairs is engaging the Department of Communication. What needs to happen is that when the minister service is terminated, all those that are appointed under PNP terminate on the minister. So more often than not the minister would, then the previous minister would move away with his staff. So that's why we still have the people under Minister Mbunti still reflecting under our structure. Because the people that our new minister has appointed cannot be absorbed into the vacancy, because there's no vacancy. We have engaged with the DG of Water Affairs. And we have actually started the first phase of transfer. Transferring personnel has got two phases. First phase is the releasing department, and the second phase is the accepting department. So we have done phase one.
and until Ottawa has done phase two, these officials, it will be difficult then to get them out of the two ministers are aware of the problem. On the matter of...
Mrs. Gawane, can you wait? Another one, Papa, my hand is up there. Okay. Before you, maybe what you want to ask is what the DMs want to correct. DM, Masha?
Yeah, Chairperson, I think we need to be very clear here. The former minister has made those staff permanent. That's the issue. That's the problem. And the new minister will not dismiss that because they've been made permanent. And when the former minister went to another department, only one person. The rest, he left them there, they are permanent. So we need to be upfront here. And the new minister is having difficulties now to field the staff according to the ministerial handbook. Because according to the ministerial handbook, when I see not to exist, they must also vanish.
Mm-hmm.
I must go with them.
Mm-hmm.
But now the problem is that those people are still remaining in person. They are made permanent, which was against the ministerial handbook. That's the fact.
Just for
proper recording, when Mr. Kawana referred to water affairs, I was referring to water and sanitation. Thank you.
Honorable members, the matter now has been clarified. But my question will be, that was done against the ministerial handbook. What actions? Honorable Papam.
So basically, the warm bodies are still in the department.
Mm.
It's not just the matter of the money.
Mm.
The warm bodies are still there.
They're very warm.
They are really
warm. Honorable Madela. Honorable Madela.
Thank you, Chair. This is my clarification that I'm seeking. DM Mosego has indicated there's only one person in lab with the former minister. Now, according to the organogram, there's a number of people who's there, who's still there. I mean, who's affected as being moved with the former minister. But it shows what the DM is saying and what are being presented was a slightly not aligned chair. But more importantly, Chair, I just want to come back to my earlier issue. Chair, if we have been informed that there is a dispute that there has been lots with regard to the issue of upgrading of service. That, in my mind, has nothing to do with us here, Chair, with this discussion. It has absolutely nothing to do. It's every employer or any employer's right to lodge a dispute. What we are saying here, and when this matter was further discussed and presented here, we were all informed that the different ministers, all the parliamentary liaison officers or parliamentary officers are at level 12. This one was the only one who said level 11.
Mm.
And we were provided with a letter from the PSCBC that indicated and confirmed that they should be on level 11, which to me does not make sense at all. But notwithstanding that, DMs and Chair, we have here in this organogram clear indication that there are parliamentary officers who are level 11, but at level 12, which contradict the previous position that has been articulated by this department as well as the presentation, because there's even one who's on 11, 13. level 13, so that doesn't make sense. You cannot continue to say there is a dispute, they must remain at the level 11 until that dispute has been resolved at the PSCBC. It is something that the department must resolve, and from where I'm sitting, I think those staff members are deliberately being deprived of what they rightfully should earn. I think it's an unfair labor practice. Certainly, even as it's stated here, we cannot have one parliamentary officer earning two notches or two levels above the others. It is equal work for equal equal pay for equal value of work that are being performed. We have signed that resolution of the International Labour Organization, and we are not complying with this, with that resolution here at this particular level. The DMs, they were powerless, I'm saying with respect, because they were at one with regard to us. If they had the power, this would have been corrected a long time ago. Mm. But the power, it seems, lies with the administration. Unfortunately, acting DG, you were the pen, and you were holding that pen from writing. So this must be corrected, before we leave our chairs. Thank you very much.
Honourable DM.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Well, Comrade Madela is correct. We will become powerless. That's why we advise our officials to go wherever they can go and declare dispute. With the reason that the ministerial handling is very clear. Mm-hmm. When we brought our officials, they were very clear, they were appointed correctly, they were paid the first month, the right salary, they were cut, they were put to level 11. Their organogram said my secretary is level 12, but it's early level 11. But in the organogram is written 12. We question that. Because our administration, when you argue that, they argue the public service. If ever government wanted inner office staff to be appointed according to the public service, they should have not put the whole staff in the ministerial network. The reason for them to put the whole staff in the ministerial network, it is because these are the people that are attached to me. And when I'm appointed today and leave tomorrow, as it happens to others, they live with me, according to the ministerial info. But our officials, our HR, they don't read the ministerial info. They want to deal with them in terms of the public service act. That's why now we've got a problem, finding that there are people in the ministerial office not transferred people, because there are those that are transferred who have been borrowed them so that we utilize them on certain things. But the ones that are supposed to be within the ministerial info, now we discovered that they are full-time employed. And those warm bodies, as much as they are not in the department, they are earning salary in the department, in the office of the present minister. So now our staff must really read other books, because each and every time when our staff argue about this matter, they refer them to the Public Service Act. But there's nowhere in the Public Service Act that you are attached to the minister and you go to the minister. It's only the ministerial handbook. For me, it's a very serious problem, because I'm 24 years in executive. Ever since I started 1994 as an MEC, my parliamentary office was deputy director. But when I reach this level now, they become assistant director. In the same ministerial book that says deputy ministers and MECs must have the same staff, the same level of staff.
So I think this is something that I don't know whether when you, the higher you go, the quota it becomes the scientific. But that's what has happened.
DM Squatcher?
I just want to assure the DM that it is scientific. The general science standard for where you go, the quota it becomes. No, no, you know, on this, I don't know whether probably, unless the administration was going to explain the question in as far as my office is concerned.
They are still going to respond because those are the outstanding questions that have come.
Oh, okay. Should I leave it to them?
Yes.
Oh, okay. No. But I just want to say on this other one, that, you know, this is a grave injustice, frankly. It means that there are people for years who are not paid what is due to them.
Mm.
And therefore, this government owes those people money. Now, these are people who got no security. Today, if I'm fired, they're gone. In fact, practically, when you hear the explanation as far as my office is concerned, there's someone that was fired in my office. But the truth of the matter, we owe that person money. You know. Of course, fired because of another misdemeanor. But until the person left in relation to this, she was owed money. You know. So I leave the other one that related to my office. Now I was feeling that maybe I should just explain it to her. Yeah, now that's it. But the issue of Honorable Mandela is right. I had a head of office, and a parliamentary officer and the private secretary. Now the head of office became a DG, and therefore I then appointed a DG at DMV. At DMV, not yet.
Oh, yeah.
I then appointed an acting head of office who was a former parliamentary officer. So when I appointed him as acting head of office, I also appointed an acting parliamentary liaison office. Now, when the person who had left, his situation was secured, I then confirmed the acting HOO and the acting PLO permanently. Now, when I did that, then the administration came back to me and said that the other one, the parliamentary one, can be confirmed, but not the acting HOO. And of course, this was now referred to what you are referring to, the public service, you know. And I think this was late last year. Of course, they were advising me. They indicated that, and even the consequences. Of course, it's something I disagree with, because as DM Mashako said, these people are appointed in relation to the ministerial handbook. That's why we don't even advertise for them. You know, they get appointed. So I think that's I just wanted to explain that's the anomaly that you see now of two parliamentary liaison officers when it is supposed to be one. You know. Yeah. As I have explained, that the private secretary was fired for, he went through a DC and was fired for some other mistake. But at that point also, we had not been paying her like the other ones. You know, they owed a lot of money. Thank you.
I think your friend is eliminating it. We'll come back to
you. Thank you, Chair. I would ask you first, I want to answer.
Chair, maybe
This is going back to the issue of the PLO. It would be advisable that we furnish the committee with all the correspondence we have had between ourselves, the Public Service Commission and the DPSA. The decision not to upgrade was not our decision. We said the matter to them. But also...
But Mr. Stawan, Mr. Stawan, I think that's not the name of a villain. I think it has been explained by the DM that we are treating their staff as the Public Service Commission. That is why I think in our previous meeting we submitted a lot of correspondences between the department and the, I think it was PSC. Yes. So it means that you are using the wrong tool to address the matter. It has been explained by Honorable Mashego that those are their political staff. They must not be treated as per the Public Service Commission. But you're still stamping on one and the same thing. Why did you advertise this post, those posts at post 11, 12 in the first place? What is it that you are following? Were you following the PSC? A month after those people have been paid, then you... When a person applied, my understanding is that when a person applies for a job, you look for the package. Because you'll find the situation that those people were occupying other posts which were better than level 11. Then they see this post at level 12. They apply. After they have applied, they have been appointed, then after a month getting one salary as per level 12, then you change. Then you pay them now at level 11. While we went to go pay plazin, even a plazin, $40. It should be $40 per day. But you went to why these changes? Advert is your logo, organogram is your logo, then call what in it in as this committee member. At which level are these people? Advert it is 12. What are you saying? It's you who are never tell or advertise my post at level 12. Then now they're paid at level 11. Why? And you are using the same tool that you, you know. Can it be explained?
Yes,
and also this organogram. You have said this organogram was approved in 2009.
Yeah.
When was it revised?
If I mention, it is the new disposition of this core post, that is admin post, came in 2016. Part of the discussion when I went into the notes, because I wasn't part of the committee that came here the last time, there was immediately after this committee when there was a query of using public service vis-a-vis ministerial handbook, correspondence was made to both DPS and MPS to distinguish that issue. In their response, they did indicate indeed that the new dispensation on the core post, that is admin post, affect even the ministerial handbook. So following that meeting, we did go back and then correspond to the Public Service Commission. And that's where we are. Certain people were appointed long before 2016. And that's why they were still up here on their old salary level. But any other appointment thereafter was then affected by the new dispensation that came after 2016. And then that's where we are. And then in that correspondence, as we had indicated, Public Service Commission, DPSA, advised that the department shouldn't do anything on this matter until the GP has been ruling on the matter. So we also got advice on the matter by the two institutions.
When were this post advertised? Number one.
Remember, the standard handbook posts do not get advertised. ministers and deputy ministers are appointed by their own prefect.
Honorable Magad.
According to my knowledge, it is talk to the budget. We have the right to ask this question. And if you are in India, you must be sensitive to the weather. Unless you are still belonging to that era, which I don't know. The acting DG, if I had ever went, said that they fill in important vacant posts. But the head of the office of the DM's quarter is also critical. We can't have an office that has no head, but the body and tails are here. The head is not there. Thank you very much.
Can you respond on the actions that you've taken against the warm bodies? Then the second one was, is the situation with the other departments? Are the other departments experiencing the same with regards to the levels? Are they? You will respond to that. If not, why especially rural development has its own way of doing things? Because if it's a problem, it must be a problem that cuts across all the departments. But why especially rural development? Why other departments don't have a problem with this matter? The PSC rural development depends. It doesn't work in other departments. Then you'll respond on the review of the organogram that was approved in 2009.
Chair, part of what we did before we went to PSC was also to go and call the additional office in another position. I think we did pick up about three other departments that had, or three, I think, three officials that had the similar problem. Now, you would note why such a small number. The majority of these appointees, every time there's a cabinet reshuffle, they move right now that they are moving. So you wouldn't have a greater number of people that are affected. So we did that, you know, that benchmark. The letter from PSC did also confirmed, I think, those three or four cases. That's why. The issue of the HOO in the office of the Deputy Minister, Squatcher, we have had a discussion with the Deputy Minister on this matter, on the candidate that was identified for the HOO. There were challenges with the candidate.
Tell us the challenges. We want the challenges.
The challenge was quite simple, actually. The job requirement for a HOO post is that the person must have a degree. The person who was identified only has a degree. And then we did make the deputy minister aware of that challenge.
Okay, continue.
I'm sure I've dealt with all the questions from under the ministry. I can move on to the next slide.
The outstanding question. What actions?
I have said the ministerial head is there. I don't see a degree there, but it is needed somewhat. I just want to say
if ever a person who's supposed to be a chief director on contract in the office of an executive or a director or a deputy director must hold that degree, and in the very same department will have any other person who's in a similar post, either acting as a PDG or being acting as whatever. what does that mean? Have we ever benchmarked in terms of the, you know, I understand that the administration can say anything, but in terms of the ministerial handbook, it's very clear. Like I'm saying, I've been using that ministerial handbook since 1994. There's nowhere that says I must appoint a person with so many degrees and so many degrees. It's just for today that I hear that. That's what you must understand, that how we are treated in the department as political office bearers. In fact, if it becomes difficult to the administration, the law and the ministerial handbook has got a clause that says the minister can take a decision, but no one in the administration that wants to take this matter to the minister. Because if we follow the ministerial handbook, let the minister disapprove that, so that we know that it is the minister that says no. You cannot appoint those people according to the ministerial handbook. But you see, that's the problem that we are experiencing. But we will keep on advising our staff to change the department either to court or anywhere. We don't have a problem in that. I have declared that many times in the department. I still have to declare that even those people that were dismissed in the department, I advise them, some of them that beg to hear the list. Because sometimes you need to stand on the side of a person that is Fletcher, than standing on the side of a person who's holding a Fletcher. So that's the decision I have taken as a politician, to say I will have our staff members who are harassed, and they will come back. Even it can take 2 years, but they will come back, they will be paid. As you've written the report, they are paid now. So there's a problem whether you're supposed to advise the administration and the administration do as they wish, then we take another stand as politicians.
Can I request that Mrs. Gowan, I think DG Mrs. Gowan, can you go back and sit down with the, although we're towards the end of the term. That really, some of the things that are happening in the department, they are unacceptable. You can't treat other people as if, you know, they're working in someone's farm or whatever. The employees must be motivated. Their morals must be improved or developed. Because you'll find the situation that most of the employees are demoralized. The way they're being treated, or the way their issues are being handled within the department. And you can't expect those people to perform. How do you expect someone who's demoralized to give you what you want? Mangabunda Bulek saying, can you go back and... Another member, can I propose that, because we have not yet finished the staff establishment, but it has assisted us, because now we know what is the picture, what is happening within the department. And we deal with it page by page.
Before we proceed, I've asked a question which has not been answered. How is the staff component in the ministry aligned to ensure institutional efficiency? That's the most fundamental question. We have been trying to answer questions which are of no question. In fact, there are no questions in the first place that we have entertained for the last 30 years. The fundamental question is, how is this meaningful?
and the staff component, the personnel employed in that, properly aligned to ensure institutional efficiency. That question remains unanswered. At best, it has been ignored. And I'm compelled, Chair, perhaps to ask, even before we proceed, how about if we call for a proper, thoroughgoing skills audit, first and foremost among what is called EMT, Executive Management Team, and secondly, then cascade the skills audit further into the department. I can tell you now, and I can bet with my last penny, that we're going to discover worse than what the eye can be, worse than what we have heard so far, about ministers and deputy ministers breaking the law, violating the law, and doing all sorts of horror. Because what we've been suggested here is horror and nothing else, but horror. I propose that even before we go further, we must call for a thoroughgoing skills audit to find out whether at executive management level people who are there are with appropriate skills, appropriate qualifications, competent to do the work that they're supposed to do. We can't go on like this, because work should be to be done, and that work ought to be done effectively, efficiently, to the best of our ability. No wonder why government has failed to meet all its annual targets is because of this matter. We're dealing with an important matter of the land question, and it requires appropriate skills, appropriate competent, qualified individuals, and we have been subjected to this. This is absolute nonsense which was subjected to.
Honorable Matthias, members have got the right to raise whatever question that they feel they need to be clarified on. That's number one. Number two, members have gone through those reports and it's their right to be given an opportunity to ask questions. Number three, each and every member's question is very much important. It must be responded to. It doesn't mean that there's only one member who raises a valid question, then other members are just raising nonsensical questions. If a question is nonsensical to you, it's not nonsensical to other members. Then we must respect other members' questions. I apologize that I've omitted your question, the question that you have raised, because I've noted it. But there are still other outstanding questions that are to be responded to. What actions have been taken after realizing that the ministerial handbook has not been adhered to? You have not responded to that one. Number two, the issue as raised by Honorable Matthias. Then the other one, I think the ones of the vacant position in the DM's office has been responded to. But although the date, because there was a question, when did they become vacant as we're moving towards the end of the term, but you're still grappling to fill all those vacant positions. Before you, another speaker, another Papa.
There was also my question, Chair, which wasn't answered about the warm body, because I sensed there were different answers to it from the body language.
Another speech.
My understanding is that the warm bodies are somewhere else, but paid somewhere else. But paid, not much. Now, to the little thing that I wanted to raise is that to say that this problem, this hot problem, predates this leadership. It predates them. This is something that happened before they were in charge. You know.
Not correct.
Yeah. Perhaps the response is similar to the old one, but it predates them.
Yeah.
In fact, I wanted to say that, you know, I mean, that's why the DM was saying this people were paid once. We arrived in 2014, not in 2015.
2014.
So, and I really want to emphasize that we appointed people according to the ministerial helm group, and that's it. In fact, the head of the minister has suggested a swift resolution of this particular matter as it relates to my office. In fact, just that was suggested yesterday. And the ministerial handbook does not say you must have many degrees or even one. It does not say that. And I respect competency. I can assure you that my acting head of office is very competent, and I'm extremely happy with him. But of course, important that, because I think this matter has also been vulgarized of him having matric, he must ultimately do this 6 month course he is short of to finish his degree. 6 month course, you know. But even so, the ministerial handbook does not say the person must have a degree. You know, because if you can say matric, people might think that this is someone who walked out of sitting there, walked out of the high school last year. He has passed 3 levels at university, sort of only, and he is highly competent. Thank you.
Honorable Papam, do you want to raise something? Honorable Madel Albedela. Honorable Papam.
Thank you, Chair. Just for clarity, the ministerial handbook does not state that, it does not state what qualifications a person must have in all the posts. That's a question. But still, would it not, even though it does not state the qualifications a person may have, but would it not align, and that's a question I'm not saying, would it not align with the public service in terms of the levels, so that if you are level 11, you must have this qualification, or if you are level 12, you must have this qualification. It may not say the ministerial handbook, but does it not align with the qualifications that are needed according to the public service commission? And that's a question that I'm asking. It's not an opinion or whatever.
Can you
clarify,
DM?
Thank you very much. According to the ministerial handbook, if you have the minister and the deputy minister, it means it has put the position in a manner that it has got a span of control. If the chief of staff is at a deputy level, so it means the head of office of the deputy minister must be at the chief director level. Because there's a leader then and the staff that we control. And then it is called ministry. So now we were guided by that. This is the guide in the ministerial handbook. But when the minister takes a decision, the deputy ministers aligned. So if the parliamentary officer of the minister is a director, the parliamentary officer of the deputy minister is the deputy director, is aligned. So that's how we are aligning. But at provincial level, you take it as is. What is happening with the deputy ministers is what is happening with the MECs. So now, for me to move up with that staff, I was moving up with them knowing that it is the same level wherever.
I can go, because it is in one chapter with the good ministers and everything. So that's how we align. The question of Honorable Matthias of how do we really align to the mandate that we have, those offices aligning to the mandate that we have. What is happening is that you have got a ministerial staff that is directed to you, the one that you are speaking about. Then as the minister has delegated the function to me and delegated the functions to deputy minister. Therefore the staff second people that will help us to execute that function with the line function of the department. But those people will be seconded to us. So these are the staff that are almost 10 additional because it's secondment from administration to help us to execute the mandate that we have. This is how we align. And the office of the minister as well is aligning in terms of certain staff with certain skills that can be forwarded to the minister's office and also the advisors of the minister that can really align in terms of the responsibility of the department. The third matter is the skills audit. The department has done the skills audit, I think 2016. So the report is there. So the acting DG will find the report and submit and you can see how we are coming.
The Honorable Mandela, Honorable, I'll come to, back to you. Honorable Papa, do you have a follow-up?
Yes, please. I don't think the Deputy Minister understood what I was saying, because I don't think she answered my question.
Qualification.
I'm saying, yes, you have a right to appoint people without advertising, because it's in the ministerial title. What I'm asking is, even when you appoint, you have to appoint according to the levels that are in government.
Yes.
You don't appoint according to the levels that are in the Standard Bank or elsewhere.
Yes.
And in terms of the levels that are in government, they have minimum and maximum qualifications. Well, maybe not maximum, but they have minimum qualifications that are needed. So to go back to Deputy Minister Kwacha's comment, he says there's nothing in the handbook that says this person must have a degree. But I'm saying, if he is appointed at a certain level, that level dictates what degree the person or what qualification the person must have. Even if he doesn't say it in the unless sometimes in HR they make an exception and they say, look, according to the experience of the person, we see the person has worked so many years and ushoda that in 6 months who pay. So I'm tagged on probation for 6 months, provided I pay the end of 6 months. You see what I'm trying to say? But I don't think it's quite right to say the ministerial handbook doesn't state qualifications, because then it means you can take anybody. Because the law will take you cash according to the level of government, which has minimum qualifications.
Do you want to come in?
Yeah. No,
then Honorable Mandela.
The director is the one who has, I was just addressing that. But I'm sure that I wasn't clear to say to take a person on that minimum qualification.
Honorable Mandela.
Chair, I think the fundamental mistake we are making today is trying to invent new things to look how can we redress injustice of the past. We're actually not really intending to do that. This is the official. That is my interpretation of the official line of the department. The department officials have made a decision. They do not like those people that have been appointed at the ministerial level. They are not going to make sure that they are enumerated at the level that they are supposed to. So then they are coming up with all sorts of excuses. An excuse to say, Chair, that out of the 72 or 73 ministers and deputy ministers that we have in this country, only three are in a similar position like this. Clearly points to me another thing. It says, regardless of what the vast majority are doing, here in rural development land reform, we are not going to accede to that. Even the question that we are posing, if we are now saying, Honorable Matthias, with due respect, we must subject him to a skills order. We are creating new barriers to prevent us from redressing past injustices. These are people who have worked. They perform. If you are appointed as acting, you are doing a good job. You must be paid for the work that you are doing. Why is it that you are good enough to act in a position, but when it comes to being remunerated accordingly, you are suddenly found you don't have the requisite qualifications, but you have been doing an exceptional job all the time. No one complains when you are doing the job, but only when you are being remunerated. I think it's unfair. It's a gross, unfair legal practice that we are perpetuating in this department. As members of Parliament, we must not align ourselves with such practices. What is fair? It's fair. These people must be remunerated according to the work that they have done and where they should be. We mustn't invent anything that would prevent them from doing or receiving justice. Thank you very much.
The issue of the warm bodies question, that question has not been answered, so that we move towards the conclusion of the meeting.
Thank you, Chair. There are five warm bodies that have moved to the previous minister, but still on our establishment. In this presentation, they will be indicated in a brown color. So that's those five. What action have we taken? When the ministerial handbook was not followed. In terms of DPSN regulation, every time a new minister takes office, he must report all appointments to DPSN. Those appointments were then reported to DPSN. As far as the vacancy and when did the post become vacant, part of this presentation actually has about five slides on vacancy management on all the 570 posts that we have advertised or we are in the process of filling. So there's an age analysis per post, when did it become vacant and stuff like that. But I must hasten to say that for the last 2 years or so, as the DG has indicated, our COE has been tremendously cut. So more often when people left positions, we were not immediately filling positions because of the COE shortage. Only this year, we got our 90 million rand to fill vacancies, so we did what we call prioritization of posts. So these 570 posts is part of the 90 million that we got for the prioritization, for which we are now filling the vacancies. So those are the three questions that were left to answer. If you allow them, I can move to the next slide.
No, respond to all of them.
No, those are the only three that are left. Unless you have something on your own.
The action that you have taken with regards to the warm bodies is that you have reported to the Public Service Commission. That is what you have done so far.
That's what we are required to do.
Have you done it?
We have done it.
Honourable members, due to time, we are aware that you are having a sitting at 2 o'clock. Now it's 10 minutes past 1. Honourable Matthias, I can see that you still intend that you continue with the meeting. Unfortunately, time is against us. Can I indicate that, can we get the report of the skill audit that has been done? Although we're having limited time towards the end of the term, but if we can have that report. Can the department consider the issue of one person acting in two positions? And also, we have not yet finished the organogram because we wanted to consider each program per program. So in the next meeting, we'll take the other program and add the other focus area that we need to focus on. But it will also will look at the issue of time, if time permits us, we'll be able to do that. Then the issue that we have raised, Mr. Skawan and the acting DG, can you go and look at the issue of this parliamentary liaison office? As indicated by Honorable Mandela, that out of all those, only around three people have got the same problem. What is the problem? Because it means that all the departments are implementing one and the same, you know, tool. But rural development and the other three, which we don't know whether they are three or they are two or it's one, only three people, or we rural development alone is the only one that is different from other departments. I think in our next meeting, can you give us a progress report on this matter? You go down, you go back, you sit with the minister, you sit with the deputy minister, you discuss this matter to come up with a way forward. They give us a progress report. Honourable members, I think Honourable Papa.
Chair, we've been speaking a lot about these parliamentary officers. I recall the conversation quite a lot. Mm. And we kept saying that the department must go back and try and sort it out and come back, and nothing has happened. I would like to make a suggestion that we deploy, is the word deploy, right? But we ask somebody to go there and do oversight in terms of this particular problem. I don't know whether it will be oversight or, but I'm trying to say that somebody up at home, I'm trying to look for the process. If we as a committee find something wrong that is happening in the department, is there no guideline in terms of what we should do as a committee to make sure that it is corrected? Because if we keep saying to the department they must go back, they just come back and nothing is done.
In short, another room, Papa. Let them go and fix it. Let them go and fix it. That's it. That is the only solution.
Mm.
They can't have resources to pay one bodies in the other departments. They can't fix their own problems. It's a problem. Let them go and fix this matter and come back and give us a report. Because you can't discuss this matter over and over and over and over again. DPSA, Public Service Commission, Ministerial Handbook, Traditional Handbook, all those things, we can't.
I don't want to hold up there and delay the agenda of the meeting. I would like to ask you to emphasize that as part of their report in the next appearance, the department and the ministry must provide detailed account of the concerns that we've been, amongst others, a detailed report on skills audit from all components, including the staff in the ministry, what is so called ministerial, who are appointed on the basis of what is called ministerial handbook. We need to look at those guys, the level of skills, qualities, and all of that. We need to get the bottom of the bureaucratic mess that is what we have seen today, so that going forward we know that what we need to do.
I think the Honourable Mashuhu Samin has indicated that there's a report, but I think that report, because if it was done some years back, there should be some other amendments. Other people have resigned, others have replaced those and whatever. But can they update that one? And also, that is why I said they have to submit it to the committee. Then we'll take it from there. That is what I've said. And as normal, bo, the same question is Kamala,
no, I don't know what
I've
mentioned
it. Oh, okay.
In the summer,
I've mentioned it. They've said there's a report they must provide. I've even said it's towards the end of the term. I'm not sure whether I'll be able to engage on that particular report, but I've said it. Honourable members, I think a list of the focus areas have been circulated. We've got limited time. By the end of March, we're supposed to be out of this parliament and do our work outside. So I think we have four meetings. Pumla will explain it. That is why we have just prioritized a few areas we should focus on before we adjourn.
Thank you, Chair. The committee is just with four meetings, supposed to have four meetings till the 20th of March. And in those four meetings, two days are allocated for one, the blended funding model workshop, which the committee emphasized that it wants to have that workshop. The second one is the presidential advisory panel that is invited to the committee for the 20th, meaning that minus one, so we're left with only two meetings. So the committee is requested to prioritize two meetings from the focus areas that have been submitted to members. And next week, on the 20th, Wednesday next week, the committee is invited to that presidential panel discussion meeting, roundtable. It's a joint meeting with Portfolio Committee on Agriculture, Portfolio Committee on Water and Sanitation, with the Presidential Panel Board, Advisory Board. That meeting will be held in Good Hope Chambers at 10 o'clock on Wednesday the 20th. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. I think members are aware about the agenda for next week's meeting. We have received this complaint from the Halek Bart Farm, the act of intimidation. Can I request the department to send the team there? They have got a panel of lawyers to go and investigate this matter and report back to the committee. Thank you very much. Honorable members, the meeting adjourned. So when in our house, Honorable Matthias.
Yeah. Thank you.